Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. Good Thursday to you. Good round one NFL draft day tonight. Now, that's good. That's great. What's the good
That's fantastic. And, yes. I'm not sure. This good may not be as good as the first round of the NFL draft being tonight.
Right, sure.
But the good of the day is that there's a New Jersey Little League that is setting forth a rule that could possibly be adopted across the country.
Oh, okay.
And that is, if a parent decides to confront an umpire during the game, then that parent must volunteer to be an ump for three games before being allowed back in the stands as a spectator.
Hey, that's wonderful. That's great. I am not afraid to admit my biggest regret was getting on an umpire during one of my kids' little
games. Of course.
It's my biggest regret. If I could find that young man, I would buy him dinner. I don't know who he is, but my kid played on a little league team where they lost every game, and in one game that they were going to win, the umpire got intimidated by the other coach who was screaming. It was one of those things where that kid didn't touch the plate thing.
Right. Yeah.
And the umpire, you know, the winning run came across, and my son's team was going crazy, and then the other coach was so furious, started yelling at the kid that the other kid didn't touch the plate, so the catcher tagged him, and then the kid just went out, and that was the end of the inning, and then they later lost. And I got on to the kid, and I regret it to this day. I mean, that was 12 years ago. I mean, I still hate myself for doing
that. No, I've been there. I lost my mind. It wasn't against an umpire, but it was against a referee in soccer while coaching a game.
Might be different. You might.
No, I don't.
Have a,
I don't know because do that, I mean, you know, the referees who volunteer to coach these games are normally kids.
Yeah. So, this guy was a young guy too.
Yeah. Well, this kid was like 16, 17, and you know he called. There was a few questionable calls that I knew I was right about that he didn't call, but it got to a point where they had to not restrain me and not kick me out of the game, but to the point where I had to sit down.
Oh, and you did?
I could still be on the sideline. There was one of the senior officials who came over and said, "Sir, you're going to need to calm down."
Yeah.
Because I was livid because it was we were second, the team was first. If we won, we would be in first and they would be in second, and it was smooth sailing for the rest of the season. So,
yeah, it's I know a lot of other, there's a lot, plenty of parents who wouldn't feel a bit guilty by doing that, but I did. So, yeah, I like this. Force yourself to, you have to umpire.
So you got to umpire three games before you're allowed back in the stands as a spectator. So,
that's great.
And I can see that being adopted, except here in the great state of Texas. That'll never happen.
You know what stunk? you know why I regret it? Like, the kids were disappointed they lost.
Right.
But all of us parents were more disappointed than they were. They just wanted the ice cream.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, that's the thing. Kids get over it. Kids forget
get over it so
quickly.
Fast, and we're like, I can't believe. And everybody was.
If that call went this way.
Oh, we were all for kids, for 9-year-old kids playing Little League Baseball. Little League Baseball for fun. We were losing our minds. You know, because Major League scouts were all in the stands.
That's
ready
exactly.
to sign our kids to
well,
the
that's
minors.
Why nowadays, like when I'm coaching a team, you know, each season, since it's rec league, you know, you get a different set of players all the time. And I start off my parent meeting the same way every single time. And I've been doing it for the last 20 years, is that I just let the parents know. It's like, listen, no matter what, your kid is not getting a scholarship at the end of the season.
Right, exactly.
I promise you that. You know, and I'm talking because, you know, the kids I'm coaching right now, they're all 6 years old. So they're not getting a scholarship. So let's just cheer them on. Let's have fun. And, you know, all I'm hoping for is that they love the game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's great. That's
so,
a good rule.
We'll have to wait and see.
That's a good rule. What's the bad?
This is a good.
Oh, it's a good. Okay.
It's a good with a tinge of bad. It's just a slight tinge because I've brought up something like this before, and I think something needs to be done about it. But If you missed it, or if you haven't seen it in the headlines in Sports Center or reading about it anywhere, the Pirates, Drew Maggi, I believe his last name is Maggi. I don't think it's Magi. Mm-hmm. He was a career minor leaguer. He spent 13 seasons, Tony, in the minor leagues.
Oh, goodness.
And he was finally called up, and he had his first plate appearance last night. And he ended up striking out in his first plate appearance, but he was issued a pitch clock violation for not being ready in time because the fans were cheering for him so much.
We've done this before. We did this with
Cody Bellinger in his first time back at Dodger Stadium, where Cody Bellinger was issued. And and we had this conversation before too, where it was like, you know, it's like, yeah, we can't issue that slippery slope. But I don't know. I think there's certain things that it's like, you know, this isn't, I mean, this is a guy who spent 13 seasons in the minor leagues. And
okay. Why are these players though? Why can't these players just do what they want to, what they have to do and let the crowd wave it? Like, why can't they just go to the plate and let the crowd do what the crowd does? But they continue the game. Like, why did Cody Bellinger feel like he had to acknowledge the crowd? Why did this guy feel like he had to take his time to soak it in? Because I'm with you and everybody. There are moments where you want to pause and enjoy it. But Major League Baseball, that is a dangerous precedent because it allows the crowd to control the pace of the game.
But it's just a shame that he was 0-1 before he really got his first pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like maybe he wouldn't have struck out his first at bat.
Okay, but hold on. Wade Boggs used to take the first pitch at every bat.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't matter what it was. Right? Didn't matter if it was right down the pipe. Never swung at the first pitch ever. Right? What if he went up and said, I know I'm going to take a pitch clock violation. I can hear it. I know that people
just
are going to
take it.
Goodness. I'm just going to take it. So what? He's not going to say, man, I struck out. I'm so disappointed I got a pitch clock violation. You know the rules. Like, you know, it's like I'm trying to think of another sport where you go, I'm willing to do this. I know what it means, but I'm doing this for the larger, thing.
Is it somewhat? I don't know.
It's like in basketball where they go, let's bring the girl or the guy on with the broken leg and let them score the first basket.
I was going to say, I mean, it's not remotely similar, but is it kind of similar to the effect of when teams were purposely taking a 24-set clock violation after Kobe Bryant had passed?
Yeah, sure, right, yeah.
Where they knew they were doing it on purpose.
They were doing it on purpose. So, like,
and then the next guy took an 8-second violation for not throwing the ball in time.
Yeah. So I don't.
I was loving that, by the way.
I don't think the guy should be like disappointed. He just like I no, enjoyed and, the
you know
moment.
What? And he,
I loved it, but I think baseball has to stand by this because they'll say, look. Rob Manfred, our spokesperson for baseball, could go, we get it. Like, we totally get it. But what if a guy hits two home runs in a game and the crowd wants to give him a standing ovation? Do we pause for that? What if the guy got a hit and he'd been hitless in 20 games?
Right.
And they give him a standing ovation for that next time he comes up. Do we pause it for that? What other creations could our crowds create? Situationally,
right? No,
I
know.
Down the game.
That's why I said I know it's a slippery slope.
And if we say, "Oh, it's only for this," and then somebody goes, "Well, what about this? It's similar, okay?" And then what about this? It's kind of similar. Like you, when you did this a while back, it was Cody Bellinger returns to the Dodgers,
Dodger Stadium,
and they gave him a standing ovation. And baseball should pause. Yep. Right? That was okay. Now it's a guy that's been in the minors and now he's 33 making his major league. I could come up with 50 other things that would make you go, all right, we could do that too. Could do that
or,
too.
You know, it could be a pitcher.
A pitcher
steps off the mound and you're like, that was the third time, or something, you know?
It could be a player that had to leave for a week because his daughter was having surgery.
Yes.
And he comes back and they give, and she could have clean bill of health and they could, or wife is struggling through cancer and she was he had to leave for that, and she got, you know, she was found that she didn't have cancer anymore. Whatever it is, you could find a million reasons to give applause to players for their personal stories. And if you're baseball, you got to go, yeah, we get it, but this is it. We can't do it. Like, we're not going back to what we were. This is working. People like it. And I can create a story for every one of these guys. But I agree. It was a special moment last night.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he soaked it in. To be honest with you, I'm glad he went. I'll take the violation. I'm never getting this again.
Take the strikeout. That was, you know, if I struck out on two pitches, really.
I'm good. I'm glad he did it. Because, man, you ain't going to enjoy that 30, moment. Walk around
I
and
mean,
enjoy it.
13 seasons.
That's
in the minor
wild.
League. That's dedication, too.
That is not giving up on your dreams,
yeah,
man.
And we all know that minor leaguers don't make anything.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great. What a great story. 33. That's awesome. Great story. All right, we'll continue with the dumb. I'm good, bad, the dumb.
I hear something saying.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're doing 1960s songs on a Throwback Thursday today. By the way, if you're new to Throwback Thursday, we pick whatever anniversary on this date is. We go back to the time of the music. Now, sometimes we'll do a theme for music. So if it's a bigger anniversary of something, we might do a theme like opening day for baseball. We'll do baseball songs. What are some of the other ones that we've done in the past?
Oh, God. We've done toys. Yeah. We've done, you know, TV shows.
But mostly if there's an TV anniversary, theme songs, like, you go back into the Billboard Top 100.
Yes.
For that year.
These songs are all hits of the 1960s. I was looking at a YouTube. I was trying to find another song.
Uh-huh.
And there was a video, and it's Dick Clark introducing this artist. Can't remember his name. We're not using the song, by the way, but he's introducing an artist on American. I don't know if it was American Bandstand or something, but it's 1960.
Golly, Dick
it just
Clark.
Reminds me of, like, Dick Clark was in the show business thing forever,
and he had that reputation of looking young. That was his big thing, that he was a certain age, and you go, what? No way, guy looks 35.
How's that even possible?
Exactly. You and I have asked this question a few times. When does ABC go, it's no longer Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest?
I don't think
Seacrest.
They're going to.
It's Ryan Seacrest's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
I think it's just going to be called Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve
so
with Ryan Seacrest.
Can you imagine
Seacrest?
Being Ryan Seacrest at 50, 60 years old doing that and going, can I get top billing on? Nope.
Isn't he that old now?
Yeah, I know.
How old is Ryan?
He'd be like, can this be my? Nope. I got an audience that doesn't even remember Dick Clark. Nope, too bad. It's Dick Clark's. Oh, really? Okay. No, because I am Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is 48.
48? What?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. He's an old man now.
December 24th, 1974.
My God, he's an old man. God. You know what that means when you get in that business, in that young thing? You better be Dick Clark. They move you on to other things.
Yeah,
when you get a certain age, you can't be as hip anymore when you're talking to a 21-year-old pop star.
Ryan Seacrest personifies if you can be anything in LA, you have a chance of making it big.
Yep, that's right.
Because I mean, he was just a radio show host on a probably fourth-rated station in LA. Maybe I'm being generous. He came from Georgia. In LA, he was on this. He was on this radio station called 98.7, or the calls. The numbers were 98.7, and they just played, like, you know, pop hits of whatever was going on, and he was able to turn that into what he is today.
Unbelievable. The only time I ever got mad at NBC when they had the Olympics in London, and he was doing Olympic stuff, and I said, "That's ridiculous. There are good people in our business that should be over there covering sports." He to throw him out there to do these fluffy interviews, that's insane. Like, he doesn't have to do everything in the business. There were good young sports journalists who could have done that too. But he's got a name, so whatever. All right, we're doing a good, bad, and the dumb. We did the good, the bad, and now it's time for the dumb. And you said it was going to be good?
I said the dumb, yes. Or the dumb today is you're going to either go one of two ways with this.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be the latter is going to spark your interest a little bit more.
Okay, very good.
And basically what I'm saying is, you know, it's just another sign that boxing is dead.
Oh, okay.
Right? And which we've talked about many a times, that boxing isn't what it used to be for our father, what our fathers watched or what our grandfathers watched.
It was the important sport. But you go back a century, it was the most important.
Yeah. Thing. So now, I mean, it's an exhibition match coming up, but Floyd Mayweather is set to have an exhibition bout.
Okay.
And it's all looks but certain that it's going to be against a guy who was a former MMA fighter. That's how you know that boxing is dead.
Yeah, when they bring in the MMA fighters.
But it's the guy who I think is going to be a jumping off point for you.
Okay.
Because the fighter that he's going to face is John Gotti III.
Oh, really? John Gotti III?
John Gotti III.
Is an MMA fighter?
Or a former MMA fighter now turned by. I don't really know what he is, and that's not the important thing. The important thing is that it's John Gotti III, who is the grandson of John Gotti.
Of the late Teflon Don.
Or someone who might still be alive? He'd be dead by now. No, but
John Gotti?
Yeah.
John Gotti died in prison. But that's wild. That is wild.
John Gotti died in prison, but John Gotti Jr. is the
Gotti
one.
John Gotti Jr.
Or the second. I don't know how you're keeping score here. Is the one that, turned evidence?
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, his dad is, yes.
Yeah, his dad pretty much
They all do eventually.
And that's why
they
I think this is more
bravado, and then when push comes to shove, they do it.
I think that's more of the jumping off point, because it's just, I don't know. I mean, if you're Floyd, do you want to take on a former mafia grandson?
I don't know if you do or not. I don't know. Or if you do, win with like a lot of class.
Right.
Floyd, what is Floyd Mayweather doing with this? What is he doing
this? It's an exhibition bout, so it's not going to count against his.
I get it.
But the thing is, it's not going to count against his record.
Right.
So he'll remain 50-0.
Do we have any more information on John Gotti III?
Yeah, guys, I told you, you're more interested in him, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm looking him up now. Like, how old is he?
I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, I was going to say, all right, because I'm looking him up right now. John Gotti, all right. They got pictures of him. My God, he looks. I wouldn't want to fight him.
No, he's huge.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's 29. Mm-hmm. He was 29 a year ago, so he's going on 30 in September. So, all right.
I went to. I was in Wikipedia already, so I went to John Gotti III. Up pops up John A. Gotti.
John Gotti, man.
John Gotti, crime boss.
Hey, man, there was a story where one of John Gotti's kids got hit by a guy on an accident. Like, guy backing out of a driveway. And then that guy never seen again. That's how ruthless John Gotti was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So John Gotti III, the grandson, will fight Floyd Mayweather. By the way, Floyd Mayweather has never worn the same pair of underwear twice.
Yeah.
Buys
I don't know who was there was a underwear. There was a fight recently. I can't even remember, because that's how much I'm in tune with the boxing and MMA and whatever that stuff. But Floyd Mayweather was there, and he was wearing $1 million hat.
Oh, a hat that cost $1 million.
A hat that just cost $1 million.
Was it studded with diamonds?
It was
and gold?
Studded with diamonds.
Golly, it's great.
I mean, he literally has money to burn.
You know what he? You know who he reminds me of? Remember Richie Rich?
Yes.
Cartoon character.
Of course.
Like, so you watch Richie Rich, and it was always, the whole cartoon was really nothing more than Richie Rich showing off his fun toys to all of his friends, and they would, I don't know, solve a crime or something. I don't remember. But it was always like he had a basketball court with robot players. That's Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is like, how can I show you how rich I am? I'll just do stuff and have stuff. To just show, you know, I'll just have $1 million hat, or I'll have this expensive thing, or I'll order the most expensive food and give it away. Like I just want to show. All I want to do is show you how rich I am. That's it. And I'm a talented boxer who's made a lot of money. But mostly, I want people to know is I'm very, very wealthy, and that's it. I'll wear $1 million. How do you get $1 million hat? Well, you stud it with everything that's valuable.
Yep.
You put everything that's valuable on the hat. So, okay. Well, that's awesome. I don't know. Again, I Well, I don't know. That you might be right. I don't know if it's dumb, but it's. I don't know why either one of these people are doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I guess John Gotti the III just wants to get his name out there, or is
sure,
there?
Sure, I can see why he wants.
Is there a Gotti movie coming out, or a Gambino crime family movie coming out?
Didn't John Travolta play John Gotti in a movie? It was a bad movie, but
sounds about right. I mean,
John Gotti, man, unbelievable, unbelievable. Well, there you go. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb.
I know.
Here,
I was looking at that. Did you know what he got arrested for or was convicted of in 1992?
Who, John Gotti? The
John Gotti, the original John Gotti.
Okay, is it like Al Capone?
Well, no.
Like tax evasion?
No, he got. No, it's just. I mean, it's. I'm just going to read you the list.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Okay. He was convicted of 5 murders: conspiracy to commit murder, racketeering, obstruction of justice, tax evasion, illegal gambling, extortion, and loan sharking.
Oh my God! Of course.
And then was life in prison without parole.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
no, seriously,
just,
that's what they
just
get
a list. Yeah. I know, it's tax evasion, because that's
evasion.
What brought Al Capone down.
That's Al Capone down. That's what I always tell people, pay your taxes. The Al Capone killed a lot of people, but they got him on taxes.
But one thing you can say about these guys, I mean, they were faithful to their wives.
Yeah. That's,
he was only married to one person.
Yeah.
So was John A.
Gotti. I would use faithful loosely.
What are you talking about?
They didn't bounce around in marriage. Didn't they have the Real Housewives of Mob Bosses or something like that on TV?
I thought that was the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah, that might be the case. All right, we'll get back to the draft tonight's and thoughts on who's going where. We continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.